recording. Are the inputs correct?
My inputs are correct.
Yeah, mine's correct.
Fantastic. This is me, Lucas DeRuyter, letting you, Andrew Clark, and Ryan Holtz know that you are being recorded. And do you consent to that as per California state law?
We'll wait for you to get back to us.
Yeah, I'm not 100% positive that you have to consent.
But you do have to inform
But you do
them.
Have to know.
Oh.
Like, because they could just stop talking and then the recording would be useless. So it's not that you have to consent to a recording being made. They just have to understand that they're being recorded.
When you go out on the street and some fucking Karen is like trying to break into your business because she's like, you owe me, blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, I'm recording you. And like, put that phone away. I'll sue you. Like, there's no legal grounds. She knows that she's being recorded. You don't have to stop just because she wants you to.
Also, I think video and audio recordings are separate. Because audio recordings is like wiretapping shit, which is like Congress people started getting wiretapped, so then laws were made. I don't think video recording is the same. But and also in public spaces, there's like different expectations for privacy and stuff like that.
Right. But in American law, I think the expectation is just kind of, hey, if you're in public, you might be recorded. I know a lot of European and Asian countries, it's more like, no, what the fuck? That's ridiculous that you might be on camera at all times.
Yeah. It's interesting in this modern season of Amazing Race. One of the things, like, if you were told you're in some random ass city in fucking England, like some village, and they're just like, go to this place. And you've got this old ass map and you don't really know how to read it. And you don't know where you are. You'd probably just go find a random person and be like, hey, look this up on your phone. Right. And I'll follow those directions. That's what they do. That's like the most effective way to do it. But every time that they stop and ask a person for directions, they then have to get a consent form from that person to appear on the show so they can like show their face. So there's kind of like some mental math behind like, can we stop and ask? Because afterwards they're going to have to sign some paperwork and stuff, and that's going to slow us down. So it's almost like horse apiece.
Oh,
because like,
they
to
have
navigate.
To wait for their film crew.
Yeah, the film crew has to sign. Like,
they can't just run faster than the camera people.
No, it's part of the show. And I'm sure there's also a bunch of like weird little sub rules. Like on the $1 million episode, there's like a good amount of driving, and it's just like, I'd be speeding, you know, like I'd be going 90 in that 30-mile-an-hour zone. Like what's a $400 ticket to $1 million, you know, like, so there must be some sort of rule behind all that stuff. I don't know what it is, but it's like, oh, we can't turn left. We're going the wrong way. I'd be like,
I'm popping a Huey, man.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
There are like, no road.
Oh no.
Anymore.
They honked at me. Yeah. I feel bad. Fuck off.
I'm sad. Yeah. I'm in Croatia and they're mad. Like, nah, man, I'm never coming back here. This is going to be great.
A public enemy number one wanted for going 30 over.
Never allowed like, back.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is Eastern Europe. They don't have laws here.
God, if I was on The Amazing Race and I got stuck on the Eastern European version of The Amazing Race, that's the worst version.
They went to Jordan this season for the first time ever. They went to that city that's like carved into the mountain. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but yeah, that was like on their bucket list for a long time. And everyone was like, wow, that was gorgeous. Holy shit, was it a lame leg, because they didn't have any good challenges. Like the challenges were just like, fill up this bucket full of water and then get some hay to feed the camels. Like, and it's just like, what the fuck? That's so boring. Like, sometimes they'll go like cliff diving and shit like that. Like, this is nothing. So, Petra is what it's called. I just remembered.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
The city in a mountain. So,
well, they couldn't do anything cool with camels or whatever. You got to ride a camel from one side of the desert to the other. You got 80 days to make it across the desert.
One, camels are slow. Two, that would take months.
The joke was that they blew all their budget on the opening sequence in Jordan, where they were all the contestants like were on a train, and like all these dudes came up like Lawrence of Arabia style with like headdresses and swords on horseback and like rode up on the train. And it was, and then they just kind of like, everyone was like, whoa, and they all got off the train and started like talking to the dudes with swords, and it was like, this is so weird. The vibes are really off. Like,
I
very confused.
Is it supposed to be like a train raid? Like,
I don't know. Like, look, they ride horses and have swords. It's cool.
My favorite episode of The Amazing Race, which is to say one of two episodes of The Amazing Race that I've seen that I prefer, they were in South Korea and they had to beat semi-professional Street Fighter V players in a game Street Fighter. And it got to handicaps eventually where, like, the players would eventually be blindfolded and other stuff like that. And, like, it was incredible to me, like, knowing vaguely how to play Street Fighter and realizing, wow, the groups of people that get onto The Amazing Race would even apply to be on The Amazing Race. And the groups of people who are gamers are not. No, there's no overlap. There's diagram.
None at all.
They wouldn't get through. Like, what's the joke in Community? Like, no, he's broadcast TV hot. Like, no, man. What percent of people who regularly play video games are hot enough to be on broadcast TV? Like,
I mean, the three of us, but outside of that.
I would say, like, unironically, we are probably in, like, the top 10% of people who play video games regularly. Not necessarily a compliment to us, just more of an indictment of people who play video games regularly.
We're pretty fine-looking regular people. Right. We are the cream of the crop when it comes to gamers.
Exactly. So now you have to get people hotter than us who play video games regularly, who want to be on a reality TV show. It's going to get real slim real fast.
Do it, Hasan Piker. Get in there.
Oh, boy.
Your time is now.
Isn't Hasan like 40?
I think you said something about America deserved 9/11. I'm going to go ahead and say that's going to come up on the background check. And he's not gonna make it.
Oh, my God. He was just I don't think he made the doc, but last week he was, for the most recent time, banned from Twitch because he did commentary on the Kanye Alex Jones InfoWars thing.
Yeah. Wheat Thins gave him a cracker pass.
Yeah.
Said that he can say it on behalf of Wheat Thins.
That's good.
We're giving you the pass.
That's good. I actually really like that.
Great marketing from Wheat Thins.
I should be careful of what I say, because with the arc of what my career path takes, I don't know, maybe there's a universe where I end up at Twitch in some kind of community moderation management position someday. What's going on in there? What's going on behind the scenes that they're like, well, you said cracker, like, a week for that? Do we think a week for that? Is that an example?
I mean, you absolutely know that it was someone, like, they didn't give a shit. And then some racist asshole was like, you banned me for saying these seven slurs. He said one, two, and he didn't get punished at all. And then they, like, man, this guy really needs to shut the fuck up. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this guy to shut the fuck up. Even if it's banning a guy that I don't really care about.
Conservatives are very loud. And liberals are too. Like, I'm not going to just say that. But, like, usually liberals, like, are a little bit more acting in good faith when they make those proclamations. Whereas, yeah, like, no, conservatives have identified the language that, like, progressive or liberal people use and weaponized it to, like, create these standards that allow them to kind of, you know, get people to do what they want, because they're like, isn't this a false equivalence? Like, if you, this is not fair to do, even liberals self-censor in order to, like, be like, well, we've got to be fair, you know, we're trying to put on a balanced platform. And but in the end of the day, yeah, they're just kowtowing to shitbirds. So
I professionally, yeah, that's come up a couple of times. I forget the exact term, but using, co-opting the language of conscientious objector. Not quite. I forget the exact terminology, but yeah, borrowing the language of, like, progressives or concerned parents or whatever to frame an argument that way when it is, yeah, as something as ridiculous as somebody saying, well, you know, cracker's racist against white people. We gotta get Hasan Piker off the platform, have him stop spreading hate. Like, that is a genuine email somebody wrote to Twitch.
Yeah, they figured it out. Yeah. When they when they tried to cancel Dan Harmon, it wasn't even about like the weird what's it called? The weird video that he made. It was literally for like tweets.
Yeah.
That were essentially like calling out Trump supporters. Because it's basically just like, we can use this as a weapon to take down everyone. Al Franken. Like that man had to step down as a senator for taking a dumb picture. Like, I don't know, man. They're like, it's only fair. So.
Yep. Sometimes the high road is too high. I don't know.
Yeah, fuck the high road at this point.
Ugh.
It's war, baby.
All's fair. Let's go to wars. We're talking about news that happened this week. This is going to be a couple of quicker bullet points. And then the Game Awards happened. And fuck, the Game Awards happened. Yeah, y'all know exactly how much energy and time that merits. 300 QA employees at Microsoft, the Microsoft-owned ZeniMax Studios, which includes Bethesda, unionized. Microsoft is acknowledging the union's existence. Which, as I say that out loud, as I type that, I realized how baffling that is in corporate America, in corporate law, that a group of employees can go to their boss and say, hey, we unionized, we had a vote, the vote passed, you were there for that. And the business can just be like, no, doesn't count, no, you're not. No. Yeah.
And I've seen some of the shenanigans on Starbucks union TikTok.
Mm.
Where it'll just be like the bullshit that Starbucks corporate will pull at these like union meetings after organization. Just like they'll just like walk out of discussions after like 2 minutes because they're like, we only allow 3 people on Zoom, and it was like, you never said that. And they're like, well, now it's a thing. You've got 6 on Zoom and only 8 in person. The ratio's wrong. Like it's bonkers, the right. Shit that they'll pull to try to avoid any sort of...
Yeah, because it's bullshit relations. Is free. You mm-hmm. Like, paying union employees is expensive.
Yeah.
Being an asshat is free.
Pretty much.
Although in the Starbucks example, I would like to know how much they're paying the literal Pinkertons to go to Starbucks and make insane orders so that it looks like employees are underperforming and then they can... fire everyone who voted to unionize, which is a real thing that's happening, and it is ridiculous, but also that's what the corporate execs prioritize.
That's as like fucking post hellscape capitalism as it gets, baby.
Mm.
Like the Pinkertons have evolved. They're not bashing skulls, they're ordering the most complicated latte that you can fucking imagine, baby.
Imagine being a Pinkerton today. You wake up in the morning, you like kiss your beautiful wife that you paid for, probably.
Your trad wife.
Yeah.
In her sundress.
You put on your $10,000 suit. You load up your gun that you have for some reason and are allowed to carry for some reason. You go to your local Starbucks and yell at a coffee maker and then go home.
Yeah, cash the check.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I would like the number 12 from the super secret menu. Oh, are you telling me you don't know your job well enough to know about the super secret menu? I'm going to have to contact your manager about this.
That'll be one write-up.
Chicken shit. PvP focused coliseums are in Elden Ring right now. I played them. I don't think I like PvP in Elden Ring, but boy, are they there.
I don't understand.
Designed for it, right?
Yeah. I know that like there was a little bit more of a focus on PvP in Elden Ring compared to the other FromSoft games.
Yeah.
Not that I care for it at all. What's the point of the Colosseums? Because you can already do this. You can already fight other players in the game.
It's dedicated. Like, if you just want to do that, like,
oh.
The invasion process.
Why the fuck would you?
I've, some people are into it, man. Some people are in the build. Some people are like, well, I've beaten Melania for the 9th time. Let's see.
Jesus.
Let's see if I can get into a match with Let Me Solo Her and take on that guy.
There's a guy that I saw on YouTube who, after the game came out, he started a channel where the whole thing was beating Melania with a different build every week until Elden Ring DLC comes out. And so he's done like 45 of these.
Yeah, we're going to be in the top 1%. If somehow we beat Melania 9 times, we'd be in the top 1% of attractiveness of that group. Because, good Lord, that is something. That is really something.
I beat her once, and that was a harrowing experience. Did not take as long as I thought it would, but still pretty white knuckle.
How is it going, Andrew? Are you still making progress?
I kind of gave up. The last time I played Elden Ring was before I got married. It was like 2 days before I left. I'm like, oh man, I got like 2 hours before Jade comes home and we have to take care of this other thing. I hopped on Elden Ring for 2 hours and got insanely frustrated because, and I have not gotten frustrated with Elden Ring as much as I thought that I would. It really hasn't come up very much. Like, I die, I'm like, okay, whatever. I got to this point where I was fighting this boss in order to get to the next stage of the map. Like, I can't get to the next part of the map and progress the story unless I beat this one guy who's like a field boss. He's not even like a main boss. Oh. And he will one hit kill me. If I get hit once, I will die. And so then, like, I was doing like tons and tons of shit, like different builds, different spells, like calling in different people, shit like that. And nothing was working. I hit up Lucas. I'm like, can you like come in and help me? And he's like, hey, I'm busy, but if you want to like level up and just explore a different part of the map and like maybe find some good gear that could help you, go to this other spot, get this other like dungeon and go through that.
Yeah.
And you'll be good. And then I did that and I got to the second to last boss there. And it was the exact same thing. Like doing everything that I could, just one hit kill.
Well, you got
and
to
like the God Skin Noble or whatever. He just like turns into a ball and runs me over.
Oh. Huh. Yeah, he kind of is the second to last boss there. Oh man, you're so close to fighting Rykard.
Yeah.
You should get to Rykard. Cool. He's fun.
that was a month ago. And I got back after my wedding and all that shit, and Call of Duty was out. And I'm like, I'm enjoying playing DMZ and Madden and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to go in and get frustrated right now because I'm out of practice. I'm going to be even worse than I was. And yeah, so I just haven't had the motivation to hop back in. If Lucas hops in and like carries me and helps me win against those bosses, I'd be like, fine. But
I mean, yeah. Lindell is maybe one of the most visually striking areas of the game outside of Caelid. So yeah, I can help you there. I can help you get in there. You should experience that.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's not.
I mean, I
behind.
Have to. I have to go there in order to get to the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to beat this guy who just isn't really that hard, but if he hits me once, I just die instantly.
You have an opportunity to leave this game with single Andrew and never revisit as married Andrew.
Like, that's true.
This is Bachelor Andrew who was playing this game.
What if married Andrew's just really good at Elden Ring, though?
Yeah, that's true. You would never know. You have two doors in front of you, and each equally memeable.
Wait, the bonds and experiences and connections, however fleeting we form as people, are what's actually valuable in life and give us power? Like, you're doing a real life thing that ties into the themes of Elden Ring to make you beat Elden Ring?
You're really digging deep, man. I mean, it's like the Chainsaw Man thing. Like,
wow.
Spoilers, like, we're just going to do this right now. I read the most recent issue of Chainsaw Man before Lucas did, because I was like, oh, I haven't read Chainsaw Man in like a month and a half. And I went in and in, you know, 15 minutes read the three issues that I missed. And then one had released like 20 minutes before that. So I read it. And then Lucas sent me, you know, we were talking about it. And it's like, oh man, like it's so cool how they're like diving into the themes of, you know, these bosses coming back, you know, these enemies coming back, or like how life is a series of like relearning the same lesson and, you know, like feeling like stuck in your ways, and, you know, shit like that. And then I sent him the whole, like, you know, the meaning going over your head thing. And it was just like, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are cool. And then Lucas going, oh man, life is a series of of lessons that we keep relearning.
I love our custom memes. I think of that one and the potatoes. I don't even remember the context. I just remember I put potatoes on a dude's head.
I think we're fighting about potatoes.
Potatoes are a vegetable? Is that the
name? No. Lucas said like potatoes are a carb, right? And I That's laid right. into him
for no fucking reason.
I'm like,
hard.
You fucking idiot. Of course potatoes aren't a carb. Just completely forgetting everything about food. And then you looked it up. You're like, potatoes are a carbohydrate.
Yeah, right. We have a podcast. We sent the audio for the podcast. Then you texted 20 minutes later and said, Lucas was right about potatoes being a carb, by the way. And then I sent the like oof size large. And then Lucas sent the like, yeah, the guy biting, celebrating, spraying the champagne. And then I edited it to, potatoes aren't a carb. Lucas is wrong. I'm a nutrition god. I cannot be challenged. Look by my works, ye mighty. And then it's Lucas number one, potato number two, and Andrew spraying champagne on himself number three. So, classic. Potatoes and carbs.
Yeah.
And pants. That's a stretch goal still, right?
Yeah.
I just maybe want to we've told that story. We've done
probably.
It. I think that was probably like episode 100 or some shit.
Yeah.
So we didn't end up using it as a stretch goal.
I've still got Honey Pop 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, now it's just us playing fucking creepy ass video games instead.
Can't wait.
This has a gaming PC now. Look out.
Oh. Sky's the limit, baby. I checked. This thing can run Doom.
I would hope so. Wild. Yeah, it's a brand new desktop.
Yeah.
That'd be really depressed if you couldn't run a game from, what? That game's like a few years old now.
No, like OG Doom.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Dude, a refrigerator can run OG Doom.
Yeah,
it's graphing calculators can run OG Doom.
This machine is cool enough to run Doom.
I am positive that in a couple of years, someone will make a toilet run Doom.
I'm pretty sure people have gotten ultrasound machines to run Doom. Yeah. So a smart toilet is very doable.
The MacBook touchpad. On the top, you can get that to run to.
Also, don't buy smart toilets. I know they do have practical purposes, but with the way bodily autonomy is going in America, that's not. No, they can pick up information from your waste that could be used to suppress your rights.
But like, come on! Look, if they're gonna analyze that to oppress you, it's over. You're dead. Fuck it. Like, I don't know, man.
No. Yeah, Ryan's right. At that point, we are 7 years into the Civil War.
We're like, way too late. Like, we are being turned into batteries at that point. Like, there is no way, if that's being used against us, that we have any chance anymore.
The technology's there right now. Yes, absolutely. But if that ever happens, it's so far gone.
Speaking as someone who comes from like a somewhat monolithic company that I think people have kind of like assumed is like so ingratiated into the backbone, you'd be surprised. Like, it's just fucking people, man. Like, they don't think of things. They don't. There's no mustache twirler behind the scenes. Like, how do we fucking squeeze every last ounce of? No, it's just someone from finance being like, hey, we got to make these quarterly projections, and someone else going like, all right, here's how we cut this cost. And then you move forward.
Honestly, the Twitch conversation is a pretty good example of that, because I can say with confidence from my own lived experiences, Hassan Piker only got banned for saying the word cracker because yeah, they got a bunch of like fake concern emails about him saying the word cracker, and nobody in the room was brave enough or in a position of power where their word actually mattered to say, no, this is fucking ridiculous. People are obviously concern trolling us. That's the word I was going for before. Concern trolling.
Concern trolling. Yeah. It's a good one.
Mm.
Yeah. No, it's some bullshit.
It's people. Yeah.
That's what happens. Like having been in a couple of those rooms. There's like two people whose word actually matters, and then 10 people who don't speak at all, and 10 other people that maybe talk, but like at the end of the day, literally does not matter anything that comes out of their mouth.
No.
You know? So yeah, I guess if there was a meeting about like, hey, should we analyze people's shit to see if we can oppress them better? And someone says, could we make money off of it? And someone else says, maybe. Then maybe.
Microsoft announced a 10-year pledge to have Call of Duty games on the Nintendo Switch.
Are they making like dumbed down versions of the games? Like,
that's what I they did like... with Nintendo before.
Yeah. Right, I remember the old Call of Duties that would have to be fucking trimmed.
Basically 8-bit. Yeah.
So that they would actually function properly.
And also they would come out like 2 or 3 years later.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Call of Duty World at War coming out on the Nintendo Wii 3 years later and looking so much worse.
You could aim really precisely with those motion controls.
No,
though.
You couldn't.
Yeah. No, that was the funny part. Is like, that's one of the main reasons I wanted to buy a Wii. I was like, well, you could play like a hunting game and use like the little gun, and it's like the games at the arcade. And like, you just, at the end of the day, you take the remote out because it's better to aim with the sticks. Like, it's more accurate to aim with a stick. Like, it's bad, man.
It's also... did Microsoft consult Nintendo before announcing this? Because this seems like something that Nintendo would be very indifferent to. Like, Call of Duty does not seem like a part of their 10-year plan, their 10-year business model.
It is kind of ridiculous that like they're missing out on one of the biggest video game franchises out there that is very open to being on as many consoles as people really want it to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nintendo would make money out of this. This is, like, right. What Ryan's saying. Like, this would be a net positive for them. It is dumb that they haven't put any effort into getting it onto their consoles. Maybe part of it is just that the people that play a Nintendo Switch don't expect Call of Duty to be on it. It's not the kind of game you play on that.
Hmm.
Part of it's just the shit-ass hardware.
That's totally fair. My only counterpoint would be that the new Pokemon game sold 10 million copies in 3 days. So, like...
and it looks like ass. It doesn't mean it's a bad...
Right.
It doesn't mean it's a bad game, but, like, it is not a technologically modern video game.
Andrew, I promise I was not trying to dreg up that argument. We'll get to it later when I talk about how much I'm enjoying the game and you decide you cannot let me have this. I was more pointing out, Nintendo seems to be doing fine without Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
everyone can be doing fine, but yeah. It's like, could be doing better. You know?
Yeah. I mean, like, you go to a mom and pop restaurant diner. You know, they serve soups, burgers, sandwiches, pasta, all that kind of shit. And someone's like, hey, do you have French fries here? Those are really cheap and you can sell them for a big markup and it's easy to make and everyone likes them and it's not going to be a whole lot of effort. And then they go, nah, we're doing fine without that. That's weird. They're not obligated to sell French fries, but it's weird.
Nintendo is also a publicly traded company, right? So
that's true, yes.
They got that aspect of it. Technically, if they are beholden to their shareholders to make as much money as possible.
The shareholders. It's like six guys.
I mean, I own stock in Nintendo. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, Lucas, are they doing well enough? Or would you rather they made more money and then you made more money by extension?
Go back a couple of days, see if their stock jumped when Microsoft said they would... or Activision said that they would put Call of Duty on the Switch.
I mean, like, you know, I'm fully planning on dumping my stock after the holidays when they aren't moving Switches or Nintendo games like hotcake anymore. But I don't know. I think I made like $100 on them so far. I'm fine with that.
There you go.
It's groceries, like, baby.
Yeah, that's like 50 after capital gains tax.
Yeah.
When did you invest in them that you made money off of them?
Looking at the chart, and it's just going down.
I think, when was it low? Like, I think there was a low back in September.
Oh.
Maybe October.
There you go.
Hmm. We're talking about a couple of cents here. It's been pretty stable.
Put a lot of money in.
Volume, we just dropped baby. Like
20 grand on Nintendo stock.
Yeah, I made $100.
$100.
I believe in the company. I want them to have a little walking around money.
Oh, yeah, they're a multi-billion dollar company. They don't need your help, Lucas.
Look at Shigeru Miyamoto's face and like tell me you aren't compelled to be like, here's a little pocket money, old man. Go buy yourself some hard candies. You deserve it.
Some Werther's originals.
Yeah, you go get those, bud. There's no transition. There's no transition into this. The Game Awards 2022 happened, as we have in years past. I'm just going to go through the announcements, the winners.
Yeah, you're going to do the whole thing or just going to pick out what you care about?
I guess you know what? We have it here. We can pick out what we care about.
This is four pages.
Yeah. It's
yeah. A lot.
I just scrolled.
This is the only way I can get through the Game Awards. They are not enjoyable to watch.
Do you think they're enjoyable to talk about after
that? Yeah. Yes.
Bill good Clinton content. Is... What was the thing the dude said?
Reformed Orthodox rabbi.
We'll
Jewish. Get to that. We're going through announcements first. We got to end with that, much like how the Game Awards ended.
That's like the
that.
Only thing worth talking about in the whole thing.
I don't know. Dead Cells is just like, we're inspired by Castlevania. We're going to be Castlevania now.
Did you even play that game? I bought you that game. And as
I
far
played
as
that
I
game.
Tell,
have fun.
Okay.
I just pictured, like, Andrew's like, Lucas, only talk about the things that you want to talk about. And Lucas immediately, point number one, he's like, just every single one on the list.
No, these are the things I want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, I already narrowed down the ones I don't care about. Here's four pages of bullets.
Forgive me for caring.
I've never heard of, like, any of these. Holy
this
shit.
Has to be in chronological order. I can't find it another one.
Yeah, you're just writing as you watch, right? You're just tab, next thing, tab, next thing.
Chronological order for each segment, but yes. There's a horror game called Post Trauma, and that's lazy as shit, and I hate it. Among Us has an asymmetrical mode called hide and seek that's basically the imposter is just full-on monster and attacking other people,
so it's Dead by Daylight, but
yes,
Among Us.
Hades 2,
yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah,
I beat that game, and by beat that game I mean I made it through one of the like 10 times you have to beat it apparently. And then said, fuck that. It was a really enjoyable game. Yeah. I had a great time. And then I beat it. And then they're like, no, you didn't.
I very much enjoyed the memes that have started to circulate now that the trailer's out. Saying, sorry, bisexuals. Your time with Hades is over. Now it's time for bisexuals to enjoy Hades 2.
Up yours, woke moralists. We'll see who cancels who.
Oh, this game looks really... Oh, fucking Nemesis. Can't wait. Fuck me up, please.
Who is Nemesis in the Greek gods? Like, mythos?
Greek mythology.
The goddess of revenge.
Yeah!
Also known as Ramnusia.
Eh.
Okay. Okay.
Let's do it.
Why not?
There's a Bayonetta spinoff game. boy, did they think the third one was going to go over better than it has been. Kind of trapped in development hell a little bit, Warner Brothers game, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, is now confirmed to be the final performance of late Batman voice actor Kevin Conroy.
He's the CEO of my company.
Oh, wait, what?
Kevin Conroy.
Huh.
Maybe Beeplet, I don't know.
I don't know if I've said this. Recently, my department started working with a guy named Andrew Clark. And the first time one of my coworkers said that, I was like, huh? Like it was worlds colliding, like when you and Jade went to Rock Springs, and I was like, what?
What if I just showed up at your office in a suit with like a file folder, and I'm like, you Ryan? Yeah, can you get these reports to my desk by the end of the week? No rush, it's not that serious, but end of the week would be great.
Hey, great Janet. Great to meet you, by the way. No, I knew that he wasn't you because A, he spells his last name with an E. And B, evil. Yeah, no. And B, I learned after the fact that he actually goes by Andy. which is so much better.
No. Again, this is Andy. This is the other part of me.
When Andrew goes to sleep, Andy wakes up and works for my company.
Yeah, no, it's a scanner darkly.
Yeah.
I'm Andy with a Y and an E, but you don't know where.
Yeah, you choose where those go.
Yeah. Death Stranding 2! Norman Reedus is old and shredded! There's a goddamn Metal Gear Rex in this shit! The bad guy has a guitar!
I mean, the bad guy, it's Higgs.
Same has a guitar! He survived getting the shit kicked out of him by Norman Reedus somehow.
I mean, also, maybe just some stupid-ass Hideo Kojima bullshit of like, this is an alternate dimension clone baby of that bad guy. It's not the same guy.
I mean, he's the god particle, though. There can only be one of him, right? Right?
Guys, this game's so fucking dumb. Every time you talk about it, I don't...
I mean, we're talking about made up parts of this game.
Fair.
It seems like a woman is going to be the protagonist of it, though.
I don't think so.
Really?
Like at the end, she was like, "Sam, it's time for you to go on a new adventure." Like, I think it's clearly Norman Reedus is still the guy. But
Death Forbidden West.
Also, Fragile is fine now, unless that was a flashback.
Yeah, I mean, some stupid-ass different dimension clone baby bullshit.
Yeah, are the whales still there?
Yes. Oh, buddy, are the whales still there? Yeah.
Don't you worry, those whales ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, you get to kill one of those fuckers, right?
Probably, I don't know. Sometimes you guys talk about Death Stranding for 10 minutes and it just sounds like fucking Mad Libs. Like, it's just words.
No, that is kind of the joke. Is some of it is just made up. You don't know how much of it is.
Every time you guys talk about Death Stranding, you riff like for at least 2 minutes on just complete bullshit that doesn't happen in the game. And you're just seeing if I raise my eyebrows or if I've just completely gone fucking like dial tone mode and not absorbing anything. Yeah, I'm sure.
Boy, jumping around. What, there was a stretch of announcements that I did not care about after this.
Forbidden West DLC in Hollywood.
Excited about that.
The most forbidden place in the West, except for I can think of like three other places. That's Area 51, Las Vegas.
It's
like
not that kind of forbidden.
Wait, actually, wouldn't what kind Area of forbidden 51... is it?
Hold on.
It's like culturally forbidden in like the
Las Vegas.
No, but not by today's standards, by the religion of these made up people 1,000 years from now.
Why wouldn't the standards carry over a little bit?
Also, why can't they hang out in LA? It's great.
Because for these people, history before the fall of the world didn't happen. Like, they don't know any of it. All the records are gone.
Oh, yeah. There's no humans from that time.
No, these people didn't survive the apocalypse,
right?
And eventually
they're like
turn
zygotes.
In... Yeah,
we were like,
exactly. They were like planted.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot
that. 800 years later,
I was like, because there'd probably be some sort of tradition passed on, even if they aren't aware of it. Like they'd be like, nah, that place is a place of sin, and it's so like, wait, so how long is this again? This is thousands of years.
I think it's like a little over 1,000 years.
Yeah, there ain't nothing left. Like, you can't go to Hollywood in 1,000 years of no humans and have it be Hollywood. Like,
now the sign was still up.
It wouldn't be.
Only for
throw that
out
there. Literally none of it. There wouldn't be streets. There wouldn't be buildings. It would be completely just a hill. Like, there, it would be covered by dirt and earth, and plants would grow. There would be no remnants of human civilization. You look at, like, ruins from, like, ancient Greece 1,000 years ago, and they're just underground. They've just been buried. That's what happens. There'd be nothing left, fam.
Oh, God. The ambiance, the vibe of the Nier Automata games, Nier games, pretty good. They strike that tone very well. It's just far enough in the future where it's like, oh, yeah, a couple of buildings. No idea what people use these for. These look terrible, but I'm still around a little bit.
The Verdugo and the San Gabriel, like the mountain ranges around us, they're growing.
Yeah.
Like, for a long time, I thought that they were just like small because they were like old, but no, they're like very new mountains and among the fastest growing mountains in the world. Like, we're in 1,000 years, it's going to be noticeably higher, these mountains.
Maybe that's why it's forbidden. Too rocky, too mountainous.
Too rocky.
I think LA is like in this game, like a volcanic wasteland.
Oh, like Hollywood isn't?
I don't know.
The heart of LA? It's like five minutes from downtown?
It was a teaser trailer. I didn't play the game.
Oh, no. Like, Ryan, they heard me talking shit about the La Brea tar pits. It's all tar pits.
Oh, no. The Hollywood tar pits.
Oh, no.
It's really spread. Oh, my God. La Brea to Hollywood. That's like 30 minutes on a good day.
I'm not going to play this game, but Crime Boss, Rakay City, featuring Michael Madsen, Vanilla Ice, and Chuck Norris. Really this seems like it should have come out in like 2008.
Yeah, this was maybe one of the worst video game trailers I've ever seen.
Aren't all these guys canceled? I don't know much about Michael Madsen, but I'm pretty sure Vanilla Ice. I think Vanilla Ice and Chuck Norris are like straight canceled. Like, not even soft canceled. Like, they're like full-blown canceled. They might be a mistake.
Vanilla Ice has publicly been not great for pretty much the entirety of his career. Yeah.
He's a white rapper. He's probably not on the up and up.
Ice Ice Baby, though. It slaps.
No, it doesn't. That's a bad song.
I think Chuck Norris was like hardcore into Trump, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
100%.
That was like his thing.
A game I definitely will play, though. From Software's Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, The Prodigal Son Returns. I could not be more excited. I want to play a game where I build and pilot a mech. But, like, more than that, I'm actually a small business owner trying to make operating a mech profitable. Can't wait.
Sounds difficult.
The trailer has a giant robot holding an equally giant SPAS-12 shotgun, the coolest shotgun. They know this is far enough in the future that they have giant robots, and they're like, best way for them to fight, just give them giant cool guns. Here we go.
The AA-12 is the coolest shotgun.
Which one did Sarah Connor use?
I don't.
Neither of those. I think she had like a Remington.
Sarah Connor shotgun.
Yeah.
The Terminator had a fucking lever action.
Right.
Yeah. Terminator 2 IMFDB.
The Remington 870.
Wow. I stand corrected.
Sarah Connor used. I called it.
Yeah. US Navy pump action.
Lame.
It's just a cop shotgun. That's all.
Oh.
So it kind of makes sense. But yeah, no, the AA-12, bro. It's fucking full auto. Are you kidding me?
All right.
Pump action. I can shoot 10 bullets by the time it takes, or 10 rounds by the time it takes you to shoot one with the spaz.
What though?
It's not like Call of Duty where like they have to balance it so the spaz kills you fast. No, the AA-12 kills you with just as many rounds, but you shoot them a lot.
You're going to get cut in half. Yeah. Those are still 12-gauge shotgun shells. Yeah,
the same amount of power, just one after the other at 400 rounds per minute. It's going to... The door will be destroyed before you can even hide properly. Also, I want to just throw out there really quick, because I was looking at Chuck Norris's Wikipedia page. He endorsed Mike Huckabee in the 2016 primaries before he dropped out. So then he endorsed Ted Cruz.
Oh, boy.
And then 2 days later, Ted Cruz, it kind of became obvious who the nominee was going to be. So he was like, I will only endorse someone when the GOP nominates.
Chuck Norris, shut up, challenge.
He just kept... moving them goalposts. I think it's clear he didn't really want Trump, but guess what? That's who we got. Oh, and he also endorsed Roy Moore, the pedophile. So that's good.
Missed this one, but for Andrew specifically, Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty DLC featuring Knuckles, aka Idris Elba.
Yeah, do you want to play a Cyberpunk game with Stringer Bell and Neo?
Will they interact?
No, I think Idris Elba's character is a real guy, not a hologram.
Yeah. He wouldn't like. Are you the only ones that can talk to?
Not Johnny Sins.
Oh fuck yeah! Cyberpunk 2077, maybe
Johnny Sins would be in Cyberpunk 2077 as like a doctor or something.
Yeah, dude, that would be so fucking funny. There's gotta be a mod out there.
They just mocap Johnny Sins. Oh man,
Johnny Silverhand.
That's pretty close. No,
I can totally see why he said that.
The creators of Cyberpunk 2077 are using the exact same logic as Johnny Sins when he chose his name. Like, no, it's Johnny S-word. Like, it flows really well, man.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Yeah, a lot of new context in that game if it was Johnny Sins.
Let's do it. Make it happen, Cyber. Maybe then I'll play it. Maybe that's... No amount of anime can make me play Cyberpunk 2077. Some amount of pornography? Possibly.
Those two things are often the same thing.
And then Final Fantasy 16's final trailer came out on June 22nd, 2023. Fuck me up, fam. I'm ready. I can't wait. There's just a cool dog, a cool wolf who's going to be a party member. I'm into it.
There's just a cool dog.
Yeah.
It's just dogs. It's all dogs.
Right?
Final Fantasy 16, it's just dogs. You're dogs. what if it was Final Fantasy, but you were a dog instead? And you hang out with your dog friends.
I'm actively upset that Final Fantasy VII Remake didn't let you play as Red 13. A dog who can talk. So, you know what? I'd be on board for it.
For an all-dog Final Fantasy 16? Why not?
I've been robbed. So, yeah, let them overcorrect.
Huh. You know that they would just be furries. They wouldn't be dogs. They'd be furries. They'd
already be in that.
Horrific.
There's just a furry in Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be furry. They would be... fucking cats, the theatrical version, right. But dogs, which would like, look, cats, not great. Like the CGI cats, so CGI humanoid dogs might be much worse. Like, I don't know, man.
Hey, was this bogus or was there a butthole cuts of cats?
Yeah, no, it was bogus. It was confirmed that essentially, like, no, they had shots where like the CGI fur patterns accidentally made it look like there were butts in very specific shots. But yeah, no, there was never a butthole cut, unfortunately. But like cats, look, I love dogs. I'm a dog person. No. I don't really care that much about cats. Kittens are cute, but full adult cats I'm extremely allergic to and I don't really have any strong feelings for. Cats kind of like have more human-y eyes.
Oh.
Dogs kind of have like blank eyes, you know? I don't know. A humanoid dog sounds scarier to me than a humanoid cat. Just maybe it's because in fiction there's a lot more humanoid cats.
Possibly. But
I think in The Shining, right? There's a humanoid creepy dog man.
Yeah, well, it was giving another guy a blowjob. Yeah.
It's not like a humanoid dog man. It is a man in like a dog costume. Like it's like specifically just a guy in a dog costume.
The Shining Dog Man. Roger the Dog Man.
Yeah.
His name's Roger.
Yeah. No, he's a bigger part in the book than he is in the movie. It's weird.
Is he like an Easter egg in the movie then?
Well, I mean, a lot of the movie is more going off of like the vibe of the book, I guess. A fantastic film. I understand why Stephen King has largely objected to it, but both are good. Both are worth checking out.
I think Stephen King likes the movie. He just doesn't think it's a good adaptation of his book. Like, he's like, it's a good movie.
That's just
not what I was going for.
And oddly enough, I think differences between the two really revealing about how Stephen King and Stanley Kubrick feel differently about themselves, their alcoholism, and maybe humanity more broadly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the winners. Why the Game Awards happen, ostensibly. I'll read off some of these. Mobile game, Marvel Snap, fighting game, Multiverses, the Warner Brothers Smash clone game. I'm skipping over all the esports titles because they did, so why should I give a shit? Family game, Kirby and the Forgotten Land. That was a good one. Performance, presented by Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. For, I don't know, Jack and Jill, the video game.
Jesus Christ, right? Christopher Judge, who plays Kratos in Ragnarok. Indie Stray adaptation, Arcane, League of Legends.
So it wasn't Cyberpunk.
No, we thought there'd be more of a recency bias there, but go figure. Narrative, God of War, Ragnarok. Art Direction, Elden Ring. Sim Strategy, Mario Rabbids. Community Support, Final Fantasy XIV. For Impact, presented by Adventure Game Pioneers, Ken and Roberta Williams. As Dust Falls, Sports Racing, Gran Turismo 7, multiplayer.
Yeah, I called that one.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo.
It looks gorgeous. I'm not a racing game guy, but it looks gorgeous.
It always does.
Mm. Multiplayer, Splatoon 3, audio design, Ragnarok, content creator, Ludwig. We let you down, Nebelian. I'm sorry. anticipated game, Zelda 2, action, Bayonetta 3. I'm convinced voters didn't finish that game. That's not even the best Bayonetta game, y'all.
Yeah, there were some serious contenders in the action game category. I'm a little weirded out.
I mean, I've played Neon White. I've played the new Call of Duty. I don't think... Yeah. I think people fumbled on this one. Score music presented by Animal. Ragnarok.
Animal the Muppet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. I don't think Animal is well known enough to assume that Animal is. I did know. You're correct.
Yeah.
But like, maybe there's some fucking indie video game artist that's named Animal.
Oh god, they wish they were that cool. Innovation, accessibility, Ragnarok, RPG, Elden Ring, Player's Voice, Genshin Impact, Indie Stray. Action Adventure.
Did you put that in there twice?
Did they
award it twice?
I think so.
They just hey guys, we know you like cats. Here to present the award for best indie game again.
Weird.
Cats.
I was out of it, but I don't think I was that out of it by the end of this. Ongoing Final Fantasy 14, Direction, Elden Ring, and Game of the Year, Elden Ring.
Goaty.
Which that's fair, I think. A lot of people were concerned that Ragnarok was trending for a while there, was going to get a little bit of recency bias. But no, I personally think Elden Ring deserves to be Game of the Year, not only because it is very good, but also for like a good month and a half. That was just mainstream culture. Like, I was going out to dinners, talking to people, and like, we're just talking about Elden Ring for that entire dinner.
It's not mainstream culture. Just okay. Gonna object a little bit there. In my job, which I consider somewhat more mainstream, I have never heard a single person mention Elden Ring once.
Have you brought it up? Have you brought it up and seen the eyes light up in the room knowing that they have found a compatriot?
Come on, Ryan. Elon Musk plays this game.
That badly. Makes it mainstream. I am the youngest person in my immediate group at my company, and I promise you, not a single person has even heard of it.
All right. Now for the weird, dumb shit. Once again, this is divided. The Game Awards is divided up into a pre-show and the same show. And, like, there's no discernible difference between them other than Jeff Keighley doesn't come out until the main show. And he's not enough. He's not a difference maker. He doesn't count. Yeah, so that's weird. That's always weird. There were three world premieres in a row, and in the first 8 minutes, the ratio of awards to trailers was 1-4, which I think is pretty funny for an award show. They knocked out the 5 esports awards in under a minute. They didn't even read everyone who was nominated.
Just went straight to the winners?
Yeah.
Damn.
Al Pacino walked out to the song Gold on the Ceiling by Black Keys and then gave out an award.
The Black Keys gave out an award or Al Pacino?
Al Pacino.
Did? Okay.
No, they couldn't get the Black. They could get Al Pacino. They could not get the Black Keys. Irish musician Hoser performed.
What's his main song? He has a big one, right?
Take Me to Church is his
big
one.
That's right.
It wasn't Take Me to Church. It was a different one.
Oof.
He's
6'6". What the fuck?
Big.
Hosier's huge.
What? They make them big over in Ireland.
I don't think they do. I don't know a single other tall Irish person. Holy fuck.
Why does Hoser, the biggest musician, simply not eat all the other ones?
He's from the wrong... Fuck, there's a Celtics joke in there somewhere. I don't know. Playing for the wrong Celtics.
Hey, you saved it.
I mean, that doesn't even work because he's not playing for the Celtics. I don't know. People make good Baron Trump jokes. Now trying to apply it to Hoser, it's not really working.
Jessica Hennig from Glass Onion... accused the audience of containing a murderer and then introduced Rain Johnson to give away an award. I guess they referenced the movie Among Us in the upcoming film. This was a genuinely fun exchange. Keighley asked Kojima, how is Death Stranding 2 different than the first game? And Kojima responded with, you just watched the trailer, man. Like, you tell me.
Damn. Huh. Fucking got him.
Halsey performed her song Lilith. The musical guests were just Keighley's Spotify Warped, and I could appreciate that.
Wrapped.
Fuck.
Spotify Warped. Spotify it shows Warped you all the tour. Shit that you didn't listen to.
Keegan-Michael Key weighed in on if Toad is wearing a hat or not. Was inconclusive, he determined. Also, they showed a trailer for the new Mario movie. Everything looks great except for Pratt's performance. Animal from the Muppets is an Elden Ring fan. Stans Melania requests Kojima makes a Muppets game.
There you go.
Crash Bandicoot crashed the Game Awards. And then, yeah, as Elden Ring director, Hayao Miyazaki says he's going to make even better games as he's accepting the Game of the Year award. A kid snuck on stage and said, I'd like to thank my Orthodox rabbi, Bill Clinton. Shortly after that happened, Jeff tweeted out that the kid had been arrested. The LA Police Department refutes this. According to Jason Schreier and other reporters who have since interviewed the kid, he's done pranks like this before and was interviewed on InfoWars about them. There's been a huge debate about whether or not this kid is anti-Semitic, whether or not he is spreading conspiracy theories. And a lot of people engaging with him in good faith, I think, have been saying, well, no, he's just a prankster doing weird shit that he and a Discord server of like maybe seven people think is funny. But then I personally think that ignores how radicalization happens on the internet in 2022. And yeah, a kid wearing yays walking on stage and saying something that can be interpreted as anti-Semitic is probably contributing to anti-Semitism.
And I'm also going to go out and say, if anyone that goes on InfoWars is not just doing it for the lulz. They might say they are. That might even, like, part of their brain think that they are just doing it for the memes and they don't have an ideology. But they do.
Yeah.
They absolutely do.
He's 15. He's a fucking edgelord, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't believe in anything yet. Right. Like, give him a couple of years of some online radicalization and sure. But, like, as it stands, his fucking ideology is jello. Like, there is no nothing solid in there whatsoever.
I'm not saying that he should be executed.
Yeah. No, I don't know, man. It's
maybe kinda... he loses a couple fingers. I don't know.
When you watch the replay, like, they have, like, instant replay of how he got on the stage. Yeah, he just kind of walked up when they all started walking up. He wasn't even sitting near them or anything. He just kind of came from a completely different part of the audience. No one stopped him. And then he just stood up there and no one did anything about it.
Don't host shit at LA Live. Security's sleeping, I guess. No. Wild. This is kind of gamer related, so we're closing out news with it. Oxford's word of the year is goblin mode.
Wasn't it because there was another one that people wanted?
Webster
had to settle on goblin mode.
Webster did gaslighting.
Gaslight.
I think there was another one. I'm trying to remember. The internet said that there was another one that was up for it, and, like, in order to avoid it, they settled on goblin mode.
Walkie slush.
God, what was it? I'm trying to remember. I don't know. There was another word that people wanted, and it was much worse than goblin mode, so they kind of put goblin mode in there.
Surprised that Wordle wasn't a contender.
Was that 2022?
I think so.
It got, like, hot towards the end of last year. Mm. It was, like, October, November of last year.
I think I played it for like Q1 and half of Q2 this year, but maybe I was late. Maybe I got to it late.
I only found out about Wordle because when they briefly made us go back to the office between November and December of 2021, that's what everyone was doing. And then I'm like, oh, this is fun. And then we didn't go back to the office.
Weird. Weird time to be alive. A great time to check out new media in The Breakouts. Andrew, you talked previously about your broader thoughts about the new Call of Duty Warzone, other game modes. What do you think about DMZ now that you've been checking that out more?
I like it. I've been playing DMZ a lot, like mostly on my own, and it is definitely a game that is meant to be played with a squad. There are some missions that I've been doing on my own that are very difficult that just would be easier with one or two other people there. But it's fun. Like, the whole, like, go in, like, face kind of, you know, difficult odds and, you know, try to, like, sneak around and, like, fight NPCs and do missions. And
I was going to say, do you ever encounter real people? Like, What percent of matches do you encounter real people?
I'd say maybe
50-50
like
for me so far.
Yeah, well, yeah, Lucas and I played two, and in one of them, we got in the helicopter at the end. It was kind of like that extraction that you and I did, Ryan, where, like, there was 30 seconds left, and we hopped on the helicopter, And then a guy slammed his truck into the side of the helicopter and it glitched through and pushed us out of the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And then they killed us. Yeah, for me, it's been about 1 out of 3.
Hmm.
And I don't always fight them. Sometimes I run away or I just see them. But yeah, I'd say about 1 out of 3 matches. Apparently, there's 66 people able to be in a match. And I feel like the game mode is just not doing that well, because there's no way that there are 66 players in any given match when I'm playing.
This is the equivalent of Andrew getting really into Hazard Zone on Battlefield 2042. Like, Andrew, no, it's a sinking ship. Don't get too attached.
First off, we played one match of Hazard Zone and we all agreed this game sucks.
No, I'm not saying that because it's bad. I'm just saying it's a sinking ship. And if you get attached to it, they might just pull support and...
No,
stop.
I think it is. I'm not saying that it's going to be like a huge hit like the rest of Warzone was, but like I think it has enough players and they have a lot of stuff that's really well thought out. Yeah, it's fun. It's also a really good way of leveling up guns for Warzone, because there's cross XP exchange and shit, so you can just go in with a gun, kill as many people as you can, like NPCs, without dying, and there you go. You're level 20.
There you go.
Hmm. Ryan, you've played a bit of DMZ. Do you share Andrew's read on that game mode?
It was kind of fun. You know, I don't hate it. Huh. I think we had more fun, or at least I did, on the like still more mainstream, just Battle Royale, like goofing around on that. We had two helicopters and we're just flying around being sky boys for a while.
Sky boys.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. But we'll see how it takes off. I think my main thing in the last week was I watched Don't Worry Darling. Well, in a altered state of consciousness.
Oh my god, this is becoming a trend.
It's a bit of a weird movie to watch that way, let's just say.
Wait, this is a movie.
This is Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles getting it on, except for they're not together in the movie, that was my first misconception, is that they're not a couple. Like, Olivia Wilde's dating or is married to Nick Kroll in the movie.
Yes. Nick Kroll is in this movie?
Nick Kroll is in this movie, and he is a not insignificant part of it.
Oh my god.
He's kind of the comedy. Like, there's I feel like there's a joke husband and a joke wife, who, again, they're not married to each other. They didn't put the joke couples together. The joke wife is married to a random guy, and the joke husband's married to Olivia Wilde. And then Harry Styles is married to what's her name? Other famous woman from the movie. Don't worry, darling.
Is Nick Kroll a vampire? Because that's the only thing I can think of whenever I hear he's doing a live action project now. He is the most devious bastard in New York City.
New York City. Florence Pugh or whatever.
Okay. All right.
That's his wife. No, he's not a vampire. He's just a goofy guy. Do you guys want spoilers?
Yes.
I don't.
Okay, never mind.
I think I'm gonna watch it in a couple of days, honestly.
It's on HBO Max, unlike Westworld.
Yeah.
But
can you do broad strokes then? What you thought of it?
There's a good concept in there, and I was surprised that the script was considered like it was on Hollywood's blacklist and stuff like that, which is like the most notorious unmade screenplays and stuff. Like, it was considered like a very highly sought after script. Yeah. And I was kind of surprised, because I didn't think the script did the concept justice. Also, some of the direction was pretty rough, but I don't know. I don't want to ruin it too much for Andrew, because I think that there's a lot. The movie's trying to do a lot.
Okay.
I don't think it succeeds. In the hands of... I don't think Olivia Wilde had done any directing before this. I could be wrong.
She did Booksmart, which was broadly well-received.
Okay. Then fair.
But
what is Booksmart?
Booksmart is
That's a comedy.
Super
that's
bad,
a,
but
right.
teenage girls.
Teenage girl comedy. Yeah, that's not this.
No,
is
okay.
this is very high concept sci-fi mystery. It's very much.
Ooh.
It's an interesting choice for essentially a new director. Like, I don't know.
Oh, she also directed something called Wake Up.
I think that was a short. It looked.
Oh,
like.
Was it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, essentially, a new feature director. And it's an interesting choice for sure. But I don't know. We'll see what you think, Andrew.
I also saw The Menu a couple days ago.
Oh my god, yes. How was The Menu?
The Menu was pretty good.
Okay.
Like, I didn't get like blown away by it, but I think it was like pretty well executed. It is a weird movie. It's a strange concept, like despite how simple it is. One thing I liked about it is that it kind of felt like a stage play. It mostly takes place in one room.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost the entirety of the movie takes place in one singular room. Cast is good. They do a good job. But yeah, like so many of the characters are just so like unrelatable intentionally. Like they're supposed to be like just so beyond like what a regular person would be like that like it's kind of hard to connect with. But yeah, like solid movie.
Is okay, so I know more broadly the premise is that a bunch of these people go to a remote dining experience. And yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of them are very wealthy or generally out of touch people. Once they get there, though, I know it's a horror movie. Is it just like, is it a battle royale thing where they're fighting each other to make it through it? Is it like
it is
a
not
a,
it's not a battle
game?
Royale.
Okay.
Nope. None of that shit.
It's not people.
It's not people. The Menu is not people.
The twist that the twist that they want you to think is the twist is not the twist. Even though we're telling you before you go to the movie that that's not the twist.
What? What's going on in The Menu then? Like,
well, like the idea is that like this remote dining experience, Ray Fine, is like this otherworldly chef. Like he is so good, and like he puts on like these, it's almost like a show because his food is like so artistic, and no one knows what they're getting when they go to the island. It's like there's, it's like a 7-course meal that tells a story, and there's like a big theme that connects everything.
Yeah.
And like you don't like, as like the customer, you don't like choose what you're ordering or anything like that. It's just the food comes out and Ray Fine like puts on like this, like, you know, he does a speech and, you know, he's like trying to connect things, like, you know, like alter like how you think about stuff and all that. And then you eat that part of the menu. And then no one knows what the theme of the menu is until everything's done. Then you go, oh, that's what it was. But that's what he was trying to tell us. That's what the idea of the restaurant is. So all these rich people are going there of like, yeah, we're going to like have this whole dinner experience thing.
Right. But then he starts murdering people.
Nope.
Nope. People don't die in this movie.
Didn't say that.
What's the tension?
Watch
the movie.
No, on principle, I will not watch that movie because you refuse to tell me what happens in the
movie. I told you what the movie's
about.
I'm sorry that I'm not spoiling
what
the movie for you.
What genre is it?
It's horror.
So people end up dying.
Potentially.
How do people end up dying?
Like things can be scary without one by one
and interrupting
murder.
The meal. Is there a Grendel?
I don't think I really want to know. I think part of it's like the tongue in cheek mystery of the whole thing.
Yeah,
mysterious island. It's a journey. Read the plot synopsis, Lucas.
Yeah, like either spoil it for yourself or go watch the fucking movie.
God.
And like again, it
Why
is.
Why don't
a solid
you
movie.
Enjoy talking about things you've seen?
I do, but
you don't
want to
ruin it.
Yeah, look, guys, you both seem fairly interested in this movie, and I'm going to tell you, if you think you're interested in this movie, if you think it seems like something you might enjoy, you will.
Like, you have not told me enough to know. Do you think I would like it? Spoil it for yourself.
Fucking
do you
go
think
do
I would
that.
Like the menu, Andrew? Tell me that at least.
I don't know anymore.
Oh my God.
I kind of thought that you would. You seem very upset about the premise of this movie.
I feel like I'm the opposite of Lucas. I don't want to know anything about any movies anymore. I actively avoid every single trailer that I possibly can and want to go into every movie completely blind, basically knowing nothing about the premise. I don't even want to know like the plot summary of like the marketing, what the marketing wants you to think of the movie anymore. Like I literally want to go in being like, heard this movie was good, let's watch it. No idea anything else. I don't know. That's the purest movie going experience for me. Because when you realize how much of like movie going is based on expectations, it really, I don't know, it puts a damper on things. Because so many people are like, this movie's really good. And it's because they went in thinking it wasn't going to be very good. And it ended up being decent. So then when you go in expecting it to be really good, it's just whatever. And it's like, oh, I guess I don't like it as much as other people.
I'm convinced the kind of opposite thing has happened for Avatar 2, where a bunch of people are now like, well, we as a society agree that the Avatar movies have to be great. So this is great.
I've only ever seen people shit on Avatar 2.
Really?
Yeah. I have never seen a single person positively. I want to see Avatar 2. I will see it when it comes out.
Same.
And I'm sure it will be pretty decent, but everyone shits on that franchise.
Yeah. I mean, like the discourse of Avatar, like, did such a 180 over the last decade.
I think it's like Nickelback, right? Like it's not great, but it's too popular that like now we have a shared cultural experience around it. So now it's even better to make fun of. Because if you make fun of fucking, I don't know,
Ween.
The most random ass movie that like 10% of the population has seen, that doesn't do it, you know? And it needs to have that broad appeal to be like truly able to make fun of it properly. So, I don't know. I'm watching it. We're going this week.
I can't wait until you see it, and then you two can actually talk about it. Probably. Oh, wait, Avatar 2 or The Menu?
I'll try to see The Menu at some point, but we'll see.
Let me know what you think of Avatar 2. I'm curious.
It's going to be competently made, and it's going to be gorgeous, and the plot will be
bad.
Very like, well, it's not gonna be bad, it's just gonna be serviceable. There's gonna be nothing of note about it. Like,
none of the characters will matter.
It's dumb. They make fun of it because it's literally fucking Last of the Mohicans, Pocahontas, every narrative with noble savages. Like, it's not reinventing the wheel, but
The wheel of Pokemon Scarlet keeps on turning, and I'm enjoying every rotation.
There you go.
Yeah.
Have you beaten it?
No, I think I'm about maybe 2/3 of the way through the game, through the main story at this point. I just got to the normal gym. It's my understanding that the gym leader there is just a businessman, and I'm looking forward to fighting Larry.
Does he have a mill tank?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think mill tanks are in this game.
Brutal. That's like normal gym crown jewel. Rollout, baby.
That's good. I've been leveling up a Tinkatuff, which is just a little pink goblin with a hammer. And the best Pokemon designs are the ones there that they're just kind of monsters, just freaky little dudes, and I love that.
There's a little guy who ran around.
Yeah, a little guy running around.
Ooh, Tinkatuffs are all women.
Yeah. Women can be freaky little guys.
Yeah. gender in Pokemon.
Wild.
Jesus Christ!
What?
It's 2 feet tall and it weighs 130 pounds.
Well, it's a steel that is a, type.
That is a dense, dense motherfucker.
I think they count the weight of the hammer. I think that well, might be a factor. Not,
can you remove the hammer? Like
I
no no no. It's part of it's part of them.
The hammer is made up of organic matter. Like it is.
They don't have hands. They're not holding on to the hammer. That's their arm.
That is part of the skeleton of the Tinkatop.
Wait, how? Oh god, okay, no, I think they are just going off the weight of the hammer. It's evolution, Tinkaton, 2'4", 250 pounds.
But like the hammer could grow. It's if it's organic, it could grow and get heavier. I don't know. If the hammer's organic, that is some body horror shit.
Okay. So in the lore of Pokemon, Tinkaton, and I think the evolutionary line, they are the natural enemy of a Pokemon called a Corviknight, which is just a bird in a suit of armor. And I think the implication is that they kill the birds, either kill or defeat the birds, take their armor, and use it to make the hammers.
Yeah, it does say that they make their hammer using metal it collects from groups of Poniard and Bisharp, which it preys on. So yeah, no, it's not
made out of metal.
Not an organic hammer, so it should not be included in the weight of the animal. Just saying.
It's just a freaky. That is just a little pink goblin.
Yeah, it's like we aren't what like I'm not. I don't have shoes. You wouldn't weigh me with all my clothes on and then be like, "Wow, he's this weight." Like, no, that's not me. It's not who I am.
I don't know, man. Like, I found a pair of sick kicks. I'm like, yeah, this is who I am now. This should be included in my being. This defines me.
It's like in Vietnam when people would be out in the bush for too long and, like, their skin would basically meld into their fucking shirts and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it would just kind of, they'd have fabric inside them.
body horror. No, I'm enjoying my time with that. I think I will have that all wrapped up by the time the 2022 top 10s drop, are negotiated. And yeah, I guess I should take the second now to say that, those are going to be happening at the very top of 2023 due to some scheduling issues and also a weird number of anticipated media hitting in the middle of December this year. So
it's like every year.
Yeah. Well, I feel like more so. I feel like each of us has one or two things we want to check out that we would miss otherwise if we did it pre-Christmas like we usually do. But then I'm also checking out the audiobook, Epithet Erased, Prison of Plastic by YouTuber Brendan Blaber, Jello Apocalypse. It's good. It's fun. It's Tumblr-y, but with the self-awareness that being a couple years out from Tumblr's heyday provides to it. It's great.
No. Love it.
Moving into the group chat. We dragged on Chainsaw Man a little bit before, but I can talk it up now. I think it's fun that in the most recent chapter, the main character has been trapped in a time loop on the worst date of his life and just how exhausted he is by the experience is entertaining to me.
I feel like most time loops, don't they take place in the worst, or like a bad day at the very least, of the main character's life? I don't know. I'm trying to think through. Russian Doll, I think she dies. Palm Springs, he catches his girlfriend cheating on him. I don't know. What happens in Groundhog Day? I forget the original day.
It's just Bill Murray not being happy with his life or career.
It's kind of a bad day, I guess.
I feel like I should point out to you, Ryan, specifically that this is the second time this has happened to him. So it's even more.
Also on the worst day of his life? The first time?
A little bit.
Wow.
Well, because that one went on for like months, and then in this instance, he realizes that it's happening again. He's like, "God damn it!" I will say I have not appreciated the like second, what was it called? What is this, Chainsaw Man 2? Like,
part
what
two, we, sure.
Part two. I've not appreciated it so far. Last two or three issues, I thought pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's also a fun bit of asymmetrical information going on where the bad guy's plan right now is essentially like, yeah, we can starve this guy. We can like create circumstance we want just by like making him get desperate and on the brink of death. And none of them know that he's immortal. And that's just not going to happen. But they've laid out this rather intricate plan. Totally wrongfully. They're setting up something that cannot go their way. And I find that entertaining in a darkly humorous way. But then also the main character wanting to kind of figure out, like, I think what's happening right now is that he is trying to tie his self-worth and self-love to relationships to try to get that validation externally because he is incapable of getting that internally. And boy, to see him fumble and to see a teenager be really obsessed with, no, I want to have a girlfriend. I want to be in a relationship. I want someone to love me. And like him going through all those motions while not realizing that, hey, man, you were doing pretty okay for a 17-year-old. Like, you're getting some action, man. You're doing fine. I mean, you're not actually. You desperately need therapy. You're a weird, broken, borderline emaciated dude. But, like, nah, you're out there. It hits me. Hits me where I live. And I like Chainsaw Man for that. All right, Andrew's internet either cut out or he is thinking better rebuking me for that point. Okay, fair.
It's been having trouble.
I can't really say anything to that without being mean, and I don't want to be mean. I mean, like, let me rephrase that. I don't agree with what you're saying, and I don't see a point in like arguing with you on this and like trying to shit on something that you like right now.
That's fair.
Do that enough.
Okay.
This is very Rick from the latest episode of Rick and Morty of you.
Latest episode or
I did not watch last night, so I'm talking about episode 9. You didn't watch episode 9, Andrew?
I haven't seen Rick and Morty since I got married.
Wow, another thing.
Dropping Elden Ring, dropping Rick and Morty.
Yeah, you have the opportunity to leave a lot of stuff in your past.
And instead of choosing like bad habits or long-standing anxieties, you're going with, you know what, I'm going to drop one of the best video games to come out this year and a just generally good TV show.
I'm not dropping them. I just haven't had time to pick them back up because now I've gotten into that mode of like, well, like there's 4 episodes that I've missed. That's way too many to overcome.
It's a half hour show.
I know exactly. I know that, Ryan. Okay. The front of my brain knows that. The back doesn't.
I feel like the back of my brain has become so TV-ified that like half hour shows are treated entirely differently than dramas. Like mm-hmm. My brain is like, oh yeah, half hour. Let's do this shit. Like I am always down for a half hour show. And a drama is very like, oh, I don't know. It's like 3 episodes. Like, am I really going to dedicate? Oh, I don't know.
You can get through a season of a half hour show over the course of a week of lunches. Like,
guys, you're saying things that I know. You're not giving me any new information. You don't need to convince me. I know that all of this is correct, you know?
I just want to say from the most recent episode, the fact that the vat of acid came back is unbelievable. It's the greatest thing ever. And that isn't even a spoiler because there's no way Andrew will ever see it coming.
And then we checked with our own solar ladle to make extra sure. But no, that melted.
We saw the bones come up. Special bones. It's so stupid, but amazing. Yeah, no, that was a bit of a return. I agree that some of those episodes post return were kind of eh. That I liked the Sun episode, Knights of the Sun.
Morty, I'm sorry. I just had this clarifying moment of, oh God, this is what you think of me. So from now on, gonna be 22% nicer to you. Is
How
that
much is 22%? It'll be noticeable, all right?
significant?
You
Okay.
will look, I know I've been a piece of shit in the past. You will tell the difference. 22%. Yeah. No, and it was and the thing that triggered it was that he was called boring. The thing he fears the most is just being boring.
Oh, good
That's good
show.
stuff.
Good. And like the finale to the season, equally good.
I'll get on it.
No.
Did you, Lucas?
Yeah.
Because I guess next is NFL talk. Did you see that your quarterback likely is out for the year and his knee isn't
Yeah,
dead?
my widely
As we've been talking,
my
that's come out.
above expectations quarterback, Kyler Murray, in a game that does not matter to our fantasy football league at all. Like, even I'm going to be playing, like, who I'm going to be playing in the playoffs, no matter what happens this week. He tore his ACL.
Yeah,
So now I gotta figure out how to replace Kyler Murray.
you can get one of Ian's three fucking quarterbacks that he still has
Yeah.
on his roster now that he's missed the playoffs officially.
Well, Lamar might be out,
You
but
can get one of the other.
still.
He's still got
Yeah,
another one.
get Tua and
That's
or
why I have
Joe
the
Burrow.
insurance one.
Yeah, but he's gonna ask for like fucking
He's
Saquon
gonna ask
Barkley.
for like
But there's so much
unbelievable.
value there,
He's gonna say like, "Hey
guys.
man, you're going to the playoffs. Like, you can't afford to not have a quarterback. I got you by the balls, Lucas." And just, you know, he's gonna pull shit like that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, who's on the waiver wires right now? Who are you going for?
Brock, dude, fucking Brock Purdy. Just,
I mean,
Brock Purdy, no.
no, I mean, like, for the
Better
memes,
not.
for
For
the
the
memes.
memes.
But, like, here's the
Kirk
thing,
Cousins is on the waivers. Tyler Huntley is probably decent.
just by a
Or is
quirk of how
he?
the schedule worked out, I have Trevor Lawrence on my bench right now. He's position eight.
Oh, yeah,
Like,
there you go.
that is fine.
Wait, you do? Oh, this
Yeah,
is my other
really?
league.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, you have Trevor. Wait, hold on. Now I'm in my 10-team league. No one owns Trevor Lawrence. You've had Trevor Lawrence on your team?
I quirk of the waivers.
What does that mean, quirk of the
It just
waivers?
worked out that way. I was like, he was available when Kyler Murray had a bye week. I picked him up.
Oh, and you just never picked up another guy to
This was
replace
last
him.
week.
I
I think,
know. This
yeah.
week you could have picked up another wide receiver or running back or something.
There wasn't a better one available than
There's
anyone I
no
had.
one available worth having.
I
Let's
not that I
look
could
this
say.
up. Look, I think we can come to the conclusion what Lucas did probably wasn't the most efficient use of his roster, but it did work out for him.
Got fucking Drake London out here, Michael Gallup, James Cook. You had some people that probably would have been better. I stole your handcuff that you stole from me, and I didn't
Oh.
end up needing all year long because it's the playoffs now, and fuck it, now's the time to do that sort of thing. So there you go. But yeah, it's fantasy playoff time.
How you
Ryan
feeling,
is the
Andrew?
worst team in all of
Ooh.
fantasy, and Andrew's the best.
I'm gonna lose this week, but oh well.
I noticed that you lost the points for lead. Yeah, I got
Oh.
overtaken. Your team definitely peaked, I think, a few weeks
Early.
ago. It's still a
Yeah.
good team, but it's not a
It's not the
like
best team
juggernaut
anymore.
team. Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
you're literally playing the guy who kind of took the crown from you more or less, and
And
he's
I
beating
might
you.
be playing him in the first round of the playoffs. Let me see.
No, it'll be Sam. He's the last seed.
No.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
You're right.
by a mile. Like Andrew or like Lucas said, is the fantasy is really top heavy right now.
Yep.
You Lucas and Aaron are pretty much a level removed, and then there's Sam and Ian, and then there's me, Shane, and Jesus kind of in the dirt. So
So it sounds like you're not the most confident, Andrew, which I feel like you should be.
the most confident? I mean, I'm not like, oh
Yeah.
man, game over, fuck me. Like,
You do have the number one fantasy scorer in the league with Jalen Hurts.
yeah.
So
Yeah,
that's
no,
nice.
I'm not overly confident. I don't feel bad.
Do you think you will win the next two games?
Do I think I will?
Yeah.
Statistically, no. I mean, but I got as good a shot as anybody. I think I think I have a 50% chance of winning
the whole thing.
Of the whole thing. Yeah.
Damn. That's actually no. That's a little overconfident.
You're saying things that are a little incongruent here. Yeah.
There's four teams. That's
yeah, there's four teams. There's so yeah,
50%. That means you're double as likely as you should be.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, that's very confident.
You should be
yeah.
confident.
That's
then.
The
yeah.
opposite.
Well, but I'm not like Lucas's question was like, are you going to win? Like, I'm like, I think it's a
50% means yeah, like basically yes, because what? So then Aaron's like 45%, Lucas is like 3%, and Sam is like 2%, like.
Well, when you put it like that, I'm like,
almost 30, impossible.
I'm like 33%.
I can see
confident.
33.
Okay,
like you're 33. Aaron's around there. Lucas is below, and then Sam's basically zero. I could see that.
All right,
how do you feel, Lucas? Man with a very similar record and also a really good team. I have
mean,
two
lucky,
more
I'll
wins than
that.
Him. That's that's not that much.
Two more wins than him, and over 150 more points on the season.
I went on a hot streak for a stretch there. I got lucky at a couple of critical games. I don't think I'm gonna end up fourth. I think I got a good I think rightfully I should settle into being the third place team, but I don't know, maybe I keep getting lucky, maybe some quirk of a fantasy football, maybe Aaron's guy, and then hopefully your guy, your quarterbacks tear your ACLs at the
no.
of the game, and then
no,
I'm
you can't
pray
say
for
that
some
shit.
Torn ACLs, baby.
No,
maybe it's karma, man.
It's karma for Jalen Hurts and fucking Josh Allen to tear their ACLs.
Yeah, two of the most fun players to watch right now in the NFL, and like seemingly. At the very least, solid guys. Yeah. At the very most, like, really
might never
good
be
guys.
The same ever again if they tear their ACL. But
yeah,
that would
maybe
be karma.
Maybe the god we killed on this podcast is looking down and sees, oh man, Luke's fantasy quarterback had his torn ACL, and he helped that old woman across the street last week. I gotta make this right. Sorry,
Josh
Jane
Allen.
Are you one of those guys that's like, hey, now that I donated $1 to the homeless guy outside my building, I deserve to go to heaven.
I don't know, man.
Ryan, I know we changed our league so that finishing last doesn't really, I don't think, carry as negative consequences anymore.
Not as much.
I don't know. How confident are you that you'll be able to win at least one of these next two games?
Not confident. I mean, I'm in a league of my own in terms of being not good this year. Ian's close, but at least his team is consistent enough to win a little more. I don't know. Will I be the lowest points for after this week? How bad was Ian? I scored 82, which is horrific. Ian was 96. No, so I will be the lowest points for and the worst record. Yeah, no, I most likely should take last, but
okay.
I don't fully know why. As the season's gone on, I've continued to make moves that have objectively made my team better, but somehow my circumstances have not changed. My team is just as bad as it was before I made all the moves. Like, I don't know. It's like, I made moves to make some parts stronger, and all it did was somehow my remaining good players got worse. it was a weird season.
You scored significantly fewer points than the guy who drafted like 11 wide receivers.
Yeah, I literally, I don't know, man. Like, I made trades. I dealt the number one fantasy running back, who is now dropped to like, what's Saquon Barkley, like number 6 or 7. Like, he's not as good as he was when I dealt him. So I dealt him at the right time. But then like, Dalvin Cook and Damian Pierce, who were like rock solid running backs 1 and 2, both took like a downgrade to where Dalvin Cook's like a running back 2 and Damian Pierce is like a flex. Like, it It doesn't. I don't know why it happens, but it does. You know, it's been a really eye-opening year. I genuinely did not think I would ever take last place in fantasy football. I've never really sniffed it before, so this is going to be kind of interesting going into these playoffs. Like, I just kind of thought, you know, after like 17 NFL seasons playing fantasy football, that it just kind of was over. I didn't really have to worry about that, but I do. And I think I'd say I'm more in like Aaron's spot, where I am the worst team with the worst chance. Like, so we'll see. Maybe I could trade for Ian's quarterback. God knows Dak Prescott isn't doing it anymore.
Mm.
Or maybe I can pick up Deshaun Watson.
You know that if you do, you will be cursed to come in last place.
He's not even like doing that well. So it would also be
Thought?
Yeah,
everyone?
Who would have guessed?
What? Take 2 years off of one of the most competitive, physically demanding sports on the planet?
Yeah.
And you're charitably middling? Who could have foreseen this?
Literally no one.
Not anyone who agreed to his contract with the Browns, apparently.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski is just like stroking a photo of Baker Mayfield crying.
Yep. The NFL.
Ugh. All right, I think that'll do it for episode 208 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will almost certainly be titled Cyberpunk 2077 featuring Johnny Sins.
I forgot about that already.
Yep.
If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for highlight clips. Actively link in the description to help some great progressive causes. Support us on Patreon or through the Anchor Podcast platform. If you join our Patreon, you'll be joining the likes of the terrific Tiffany Cole, Sucky Badger, and Sensual Richard Nixon. Send us your questions, business opportunities, voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter for updates at @V2_podcast, and follow me at @LucasDeWriter to keep up with all of my writing and other stuff like the anime live stream I'm doing for my 9 to 5 tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Get in there. Gonna be talking a lot about some of the business stuff that's happening, the recently announced Crunchyroll Awards, and hopefully to a more amicable audience, Chainsaw Man. Gonna be talking about Chainsaw Man. Shocker, I know. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a good one.